Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the field to the court to the rink, get your sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Bills Camp Live. We are on the campus of St. John Fisher College. Just wrapped up day six of Buffalo Bills training camp. And joining us here in the Country Suite hot seat, brought to you by Country Suite and Triple O in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN.com. Good to see Marcel Louis Jacques in person joining us in the sports bar. Marcel, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, man. It's got a comfortable setup here, man. Nice little tent, comfortable
furniture. This is your first time in the sports bar at St. John Fisher College. This is how we do. We like to have the comfortable furniture from our friends at Ace Swim and Leisure. And yeah, you know, we had Kirk Coleman in here yesterday. Yeah. He said he's going to start coming in here for naps in the afternoon.
I don't blame him, man. I might have to leave the dorms and come sneak in here. Maybe give a quote or two as long as I earn my keep, right?
Yeah, so we're, Marcel, we're, what, the weekend to camp here. What's your initial impression so far of this team?
Defense is about what you thought it would be with so many guys from last year's team coming back. But I think the real surprise is how quickly Josh Allen is gelling with the new additions, John Brown and Cole Beasley. I can't tell if he's forcing the issue here, if he's, you know, targeting them repeatedly to try to build that chemistry as quickly as possible, but it seems natural. It seems like they're getting an idea for he's getting an idea for how these guys run routes. John Brown, who, you know, you kind of think, you look at his numbers throughout his career and you kind of think he'd be a one trick kind of guy. He's a deep threat, a vertical threat, but it's not quite the case. He uses that speed so effectively underneath in those short yardage situations as well. You can use it in the red zone. The important thing for them is just to get open, and that's something that Brown and Beasley just really they specialize in. So I think that would be that's my biggest takeaway from the offense through I guess we're six practices in camp now.
Marcel, I want to talk a little bit about Josh Allen in a second, but since you brought up John Brown, you know, Sean McDermott called him like a village of Smurfs the other day at his press conference. You know, and we had Kelvin Benjamin here last year at this time. I think Kelvin Benjamin to me is like, if I think in my head, all right, when did the NFL shift away from the wide receiver being big and lanky with the massive catch radius to now being shifty and quick and able to get separation? Because it certainly seems like the Bills have put an emphasis on wide receivers who can get that separation regardless of what their size might be.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you asked. It's something that I'm writing about as we speak. It should be out tomorrow. But you can't necessarily point to a year where they said, okay, like this is now the year of the small receiver. But it kind of makes sense, ultimately, that teams would shift toward those kind of guys, because ultimately who cares how big your catch radius is if you can't get away from the guy guarding you. The important thing here, the most important trait for a receiver besides catching the ball, is the ability to separate and the ability to create space. I talked to Cole Beasley about it a few days ago, and he said it widens the margin of error for a quarterback, because now all of a sudden if you've got 3 yards of separation from that nearest defensive back, if that ball's a little behind you, you can slow down and catch up to it without, you know, putting the entire play in jeopardy or throwing an interception. So that's the deal there. And specifically with Buffalo, I actually got a chance to talk to Brandon Bean about how this receiver room came to be. And it wasn't necessarily that he's just looking at guys like looking and targeting a specific kind of receiver, because they did talk to a few big bodied receivers in free agency. They did look at a few in the draft. It didn't add up, didn't line up the way that they wanted it to. But the point he wanted to make was creating just a variety of weapons. So you've got your guys that can get open quickly in space. You've got your big guys like Zay Jones, like Robert Foster, possibly Duke Williams as he's fighting for a roster spot, who can provide a target and who can be that who could be that, that short yardage and red zone guy when maybe the weather's bad, which I hear Buffalo's prone to have every now and then.
We've heard that.
No, it's like this all the time. December. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com Buffalo Bills reporter, staying with the wide receivers here. And I think everybody would say, yeah, it's been John Brown emerging as, you know, if there was to be a number one, Beasley. What about Zay Jones and Robert Foster? Because going back to the spring practices, we could have a healthy debate who would end up being the number one. Is there a clear gap now between, say, Brown and Jones and Foster?
I would say, yeah, the hierarchy is going to go Brown and Beasley right now at the top with Jones. I would guess Jones is on a platform by himself right below Brown and Beasley, and then Foster is in a group with like Ray McLeod, because Foster, he's getting the targets every now and then. You're not seeing him make as many splashy plays as maybe you would expect from a guy who put up those kind of numbers, the kind of numbers he did at the end of last season. But even Zay Jones has been more or less quiet in team drills as Brown and Beasley just continue to showcase that ability to get open quickly. And Ray McLeod is right there as well in the slot. He's a guy who's been repeatedly mentioned by Sean McDermott, by Brian Daboll, as a guy who's improved in year two from year one. He found his spots, and it looks like he's worked on them pretty efficiently this offseason. But there's still a lot of camp to go. Yeah. They still haven't played any games. It's still so early, but so far there's a clear-cut top two, a little murkier third option, and then after that, it's kind of a scramble.
Marcel, old football cliche is tight end is a quarterback's best friend. Who's going to be Josh Allen's best friend? I mean, who's left at that position, right? I mean, you're hoping that Kroom and Knox and these hamstring, these soft tissue injuries aren't severe or they aren't lingering, but Kroom's been out a while now with this injury. You know, look into the crystal ball and let us know what you think happens at the position for the Bills.
I think right now Tommy Sweeney's getting a lot of run with the first team offense, and that's only got to benefit him. I mean, that this is a league of opportunity, and he's getting his right now. I think he's a better receiver. He was a better receiver at Boston College than he's getting credit for right now. I think that he can be a strong target for Josh Allen in the passing game. But ultimately, he might be the leader in the clubhouse right now. Lee Smith is known primarily as a specialist in as a blocking tight end. But he's running routes. He's catching passes as well. Like, out of necessity, he might have to be the guy. But there's just it seems like there are so many injuries, because there are, but it is very early in the process. And I think there's still time for Kroom's hamstring to heal. There's still time for Dawson Knox to heal. I know they're really excited about him as well. But if I had to guess right now, if they're lining up against Indianapolis tomorrow, then Sweeney's probably the guy.
We don't have an update on Croft yet, do we? I mean, we're walking boot, I think, is the latest that we heard, is walking around in the walking
Croft
boot.
Croft as well. There's no official update on him as well. It's still another day-to-day kind of wait and see if he – there's no reason to rush him back at this point. And you don't want to re-injure that foot. You saw what happened. I saw it happen with Greg Olsen last year, where he had that foot injury and pushed it. He rushed a little. He kind of rushed back on it, and he said that he could tell the entire season that it was just a ticking time bomb, and eventually it ruptured against Tampa Bay in I think week 13. You don't want that kind of scenario with the depth that you have at tight end currently. So I wouldn't expect anybody to be rushed back before they're 100% healthy, and I wouldn't read too far into guys being held out at this stage of training camp.
Marcel, I love that you're here. You have a fresh set of eyes when it comes to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, we've seen some good things. Today we saw a couple interceptions. Where do you think he is on the curve right now, the Bills quarterback?
I think he, based on what I saw from him last year, it looks like he's improved over the offseason. And I think it's not necessarily the arm talent. The arm talent's just going to – it's always been there. It's the mentality. I think he's accepted the fact that he doesn't have to try to make plays happen. He doesn't have to force things like he did at times last year. And that's where you saw the hundreds of rushing yards. What was it, 600 rushing yards in 12 starts. That he's got playmakers now where he can just get them the ball and let them work or take – what the defense gives you. And that's something that's been emphasized by this coaching staff, is when a defense is giving you an opportunity at second and six, second and four, you need to take that. We don't need you throwing bombs down the field. This defense is good enough to keep opponents in check. We just need you to not lose the game. He's a little more than a game manager at this point, but he's not in the same situation as, say, an Aaron Rodgers, where, you know, that if he doesn't make it happen, nothing's going to happen.
Marcel, do you see a little bit more fire out of the Bills' defense on the field than you do out of the Bills' offense? Fire meaning just an energy, a passion. I know that you know, defenses might be at a disadvantage at training camp against offenses, but it doesn't feel like that way here, and I'm worried about what that means for the Buffalo Bills' offense going into week one of the preseason.
No, and, you know, there's a saying that iron sharpens iron, you know, to paraphrase it. So there is, at least yesterday, there was clearly a lot more aggression and energy coming from the defense than the offense. Rainy day practice. You're already, you know, you're not bringing guys down, but if someone touched the ball, they were getting thudded by about 6-7 guys before they could get off the field. And you see guys going to strip the ball. If you pay attention, they're stripping the ball even after the whistle is blown. And Sean McDermott's mentality there is, you know, just give the ball to the ref. Make sure you don't loosen that grip until the referee has the ball in his hands. But the defense, that kind of attitude is not going anywhere. So offense has no choice but to match it. And they're going to have to learn to eventually, because I don't think the defense is that kind of energy, that kind of attitude is going anywhere.
Yesterday, Leslie Frazier pretty much said, in as many words, the corner battle is over. Levi Wallace, it's his job, and you'll have Taron Johnson in the slot. This secondary overall, I mean, you've been covering this league. How good is it? What's the potential here for the secondary?
I think that you have, when you've got two guys like Micah Hyde and like Jordan Poirier at safety, I think that limits an opponent's play calling. Because they take away that vertical threat. They take away that deep ball, since they are so good at making plays on the ball. A guy like Tre'Davious White, if he takes that next step in year three and becomes the franchise cornerstone they need him to be, then that potentially takes away a whole side of the field. So all of a sudden, you're starting to see why they're only allowing 170 passing yards per game last year, because these guys in the back end are just, they're just that good. The next step, and I think we discussed this last time I was on, the next step for this defense is to get pressure on the quarterback. Because if that guy's got all day long to throw, it doesn't matter who you've got in that defensive backfield, you can't cover all day. It's a big field. So I think the returns from that so far have been good. Today especially was the defense's best day, the pass rusher's best day. They're going against a skeleton crew on the offensive line, but if they can limit the number or the amount of time opposing quarterbacks have to throw, then I think we'll see more or less the same numbers that they put up last season.
And Marcel, before we get off of the defensive secondary, you know, the refs were at practice today. We saw the oven mitts on the corners earlier in training camp. This rule change, I think, is could be problematic for a lot of teams. It's certainly going to change the mindset and the strategy of different coaches. It should, at least, knowing that pass interference could be reviewable, could be that easily. If you need a big play, it's there for you if you believe a corner is going to be handsy with your wide receiver. Have you been paying attention to what the corners and what the safeties have been doing with the Buffalo Bills in terms of, especially today, in terms of, you know, flags being thrown for pass interference, offensive or defensive?
Didn't see many, if any, flags when I was watching team drills for PI. It looks like the oversized oven mitts have been doing their job there. But I think that's you've got a point there. It changes how much of an emphasis is going to be put on taking your hands away and not using your hands. Sometimes you can get away with the little tugging and pulling, but with the storm that the league's underwent during this past offseason, I don't think they were going to leave that up to chance. I think we're going to see a lot more of these calls. We're going to see probably a lot more ticky-tack type of stuff that they're shrinking the rubber band here. You know, I was always taught to call something tight, because if you call it loose from the beginning, it's hard to get that rubber band to shrink back. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to get that rubber band to shrink back here, and it might be the source of a lot of frustration this season. But, you know, guys like Tre'Davious White, Trey White's defensive holding calls almost tripled his second year from his first year. So that's something that he specifically needs to work on. And he told me it's been a challenge. The oven mitts, it's hard, and it's meant to be hard. But that's what training camp is for.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com Buffalo Bills reporter, our guest in the sports bar. Are you surprised there's been this much continuity, injuries aside here, with Morse being in concussion protocol and Spencer Long? But I'm personally surprised that you've seen Quentin Spain every practice at left guard with the ones, and pretty much it's been, for the most part, Cody Ford at right tackle. It seems like this is the offensive line. They really want to go win this job.
Yeah, and I mean, times like this, training camp and practices, it's meant to find your best combination. But if your best combination is apparent, then you want to get that unit used to itself as quickly as possible. So that's where you're seeing. I think that guys like Spain, guys like Long, they're establishing themselves as as some of the best linemen on this team. And Ford, just to lock in that right tackle spot this early in the camp, I think is impressive. We'll see what he can do once the guys across from him have a different color jersey on. But that in his position flexibility, I think, is important as well. They don't really plan on using him at guard, but knowing that he can switch to guard, he can go over to left tackle like we saw today. I think that's important, because injuries are just going to happen on the offensive line. It's a high contact position.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, joining us in the sports bar. Bills camp live. We've got you for a few more minutes during practice today. Josh Allen, if you took today's practice in a vacuum, I think you would have what you have in Josh Allen this season. Some throws that were remarkable. There was a throw. It was on the sideline. I want to say it was to Andre Roberts. Yeah. It was. I saw that throw. I'm like, that is an NFL quarterback throw right there. That is a awesome throw. The problem is that throw came after he just let the big man score a touchdown on a pick on a tipped ball, and he had his share of mistakes during practice today, too. I think there are going to be some maddening moments, and I think there are going to be some oh-wow moments out of Josh Allen. Do you see something differently? I mean, we see progression. We see growth. We see maturity. How's it going to play out when he actually gets on the field?
Yeah, well, maturity doesn't happen overnight. So Bills fans, you gotta temper your expectations here. He is just in his second year in the NFL. So I think as long as things go up and to the right, as long as you're seeing improvement, then that's a positive note. Regression is the only time, or complacency is the only time where I think red flags go up. But it's going to come with the growing pains, and that's with every quarterback. Nobody is perfect, especially not a guy who's still learning how to be a pro, who's still learning the position at this level. But like I said before, the arm talent is there, and I think he's confident in his arm enough that he believes he can make any throw on the field, and he can make most of them. It's just, you know, mentally knowing how to pick your spots and knowing when to touch the defense, when to take that shot, and when to take that check down. He told me something a couple days ago that I think is a positive note, a positive light for the staff, that checkdowns are not a cop-out. They're often the smart play on the field. And that right there, that is a representative of an up-and-to-the-right mentality. I think that represents improvement. And from there, it's just going to take time.
So we've got a practice tomorrow morning, 9:45, and then the scrimmage Friday night. I think we're all ready for something different here. What are you looking forward to Friday night? What can... You know, you're a fan heading out. What should somebody be watching for Friday night at the open scrimmage?
I want to see, can the receivers behind Brown and Beasley make an impact? Can Jones be that guy short yardage and in the red zone? Can Robert Foster find that groove again? Is Ray McLeod for real, or is this just, is it coach speak saying that he's improving, he's improving? Can he show it can he show it in crunch time? I'm watching the pass rush. I'm watching Ed Oliver. He's been dominant since the pads came on. Quentin Spain specifically, I think they got in a little shoving match today, because Oliver took his lunch a couple reps in a row, and it looked like maybe tempers boiled over. Nobody likes being shown up by a rookie like that. But can this pass rush be that effective under the lights? And can the run game be effective? Through the first few days of camp, when they're going 7-on-7 in the run drills, you're seeing a lot of penetration, a lot of negative yards, and over the past few days, it seems like that game's been getting its groove. You're seeing Frank Gore looking as agile as ever. You see Devin Singletary sometimes. He can make something out of nothing when he gets collapsed in that backfield. Can T.J. Yeldon make plays and earn that fourth running back spot? So I'm looking at the run game and seeing, can that be effective? Because you can't put the entire onus on Josh Allen in the passing game to move the chains. You need to have that kind of fallback, and there's just too much talent in that backfield for there not to be.
Marcel, before we let you go, you're gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of it to tell our listeners what you're working on for ESPN.com, what they can read up on.
Sure. So today I had a piece come out on the importance of year three in the NFL. Your first 2 years in the league, you're either going to – you figure the league out and the league figures you out. Sometimes the order is different, but, you know, for most cases, that's how it is. That's why year three is a chance for guys to show who they are in the league, that they're not just, you know, a potential up-and-coming talent, that they are a franchise cornerstone. And the Bills have four guys, Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, Trey White, four guys who came on board – during Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's first year, and now need to represent the change and the transition into a title contender, into a hopeful title contender. It's going to base on these kind of cornerstone guys. Then tomorrow we've got the piece about the wide receivers, about how, you know, they might be Smurfs, but there's kind of a method to the madness here. Like there's a reason that they're here, and there's a role for these guys in the league as well. But, I mean, I keep everybody up to date. If you follow me on Twitter, like you said, @Marcel_LJ, you'll be able to keep up with everything Bills-related as I see it. And I'll keep you posted as to what I'm working on as well.
Great follow. Great addition to the Bills beat here. Marcel Louis-Jacques, pleasure meeting you in person now.
I was about to say, this is nice, man. I wouldn't mind being back here a couple times. Yeah, that
might, anytime you want to join us here in the Sports Bar, Marcel, you know you're more than welcome. We'll see you on the practice field tomorrow morning, too, as well, all right?
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.